Welcome to the podcast, Keep It Simple. Join our hosts, Tom LeComp and Gavin Durson, as they discuss the joys and challenges of being the simple church in a complex world. We are recording. Hey, welcome to the podcast. This is Tom.
And this is Gavin Durson, and we appreciate you guys joining us today. And we are very privileged today to have a friend of mine who I got to know recently and been really enjoying getting to know. It's Forrest Head from down near Atlanta, Georgia. Forrest, tell us a little bit about yourself and where you're from.
Hey, well, Gavin, thanks for having me on today. I am living right now in North Georgia, but originally from Florida, and working and ministering with a group called Big Life Ministries and directing their efforts in North America.
Well, I've been really excited to have you on this podcast, and just so you know, Forrest, this is probably one of the top podcasts on iTunes, so there's a lot of pressure for you to get this right.
I feel the weight, brother.
Well, I met you, Forrest, a thing that we've been kind of working on with Ken Eastburn from House to House and things, and we went up to Chicago, and that's where me and you met, and I've just really enjoyed hearing about your story. And I thought for this first podcast that we're going to have you on here, I'd love for you to just kind of take some time and share the story of how you got involved with Simple Church Planting and how that looks, and a little bit about Big Life, if you would. Maybe just kind of introduce us to and give us the rundown of how that all is coming together for you.
Well, I served on a local church staff for 28 years, my first 28 years of ministry. I enjoyed that, saw the Lord work, saw some fruit as a result of our efforts. He blessed us in that way. In the last 15 years, I was at a mega church in South Florida and served there as senior associate pastor and really as interim in many, many different roles at that church. I always came into the attitude with ministry that it wasn't about a job description. It was really about serving the Lord as He gave opportunity, and that characterized my ministry from day one. For about 7 years, I sat on the board of Big Life Ministries. It was a ministry that started in the year 2000 with really the goal and the purpose first to go and make disciples and walk in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ and His Word. And that ministry was centered for years in the 1040 window. It started in the country of Iran, using sports as a platform to get into that closed country and just going in and sharing the gospel. And that went on for just a couple of years until 9/11 occurred. Shortly after that happened, the team lost their visas, could no longer go to Iran. We were invited to the country of India and kind of reluctantly went to India because mission work had been going on there for hundreds of years. You know, back to William Carey and Adoniram Judson and those guys, and they had done a great work there. But Iran made sense to the ministry, but India really didn't. But anyway, went on into India, still using sports as a platform, and God opened some doors. But just to kind of fast forward, that all changed in the fall of 2003 when the focus began on empowering local believers to reach their own people and disciple them for Jesus Christ. And for years, it was about sending Western missionaries to foreign fields. And we became convinced that the best way to accomplish a rapidly multiplying work was to use the indigenous local people. And we look back on it, and really the reason why is because, you know, they know the language. They don't get homesick. They know the culture. They like the food. They know more about the area than any Westerner could ever really know. And so
sort of makes sense.
We began putting our efforts toward that. And in November of 2003, we saw the planting of four simple churches in the villages surrounding Calcutta, India. And it's just exploded since then, just by focusing on making disciples. And by making these disciples, we see them begin to gather in these simple churches and then reproduce that over and over and over. We'll jump ahead to about 4 years ago when John Harima, the executive director of Big Life, approached me. As I said, I had been on the board for several years, and he just became convicted and very concerned about the state of the church in North America. And he called me asking for some advice or my
Let me interrupt you there just for a second. Now, where were you at that time? Were you on staff at this church in Florida?
Yes, I was a senior associate pastor at this church in South Florida, Naples, Florida. And the ministry actually started out of this church.
The Big Life Ministries.
Yeah, Big Life started with two guys, John Harriman and Jim Powers, neither of them with any formal theological training or Bible school training. One was working on a political campaign at the time, and then John was actually a golf course superintendent and had then started his own landscaping design and maintenance business. So
I see.
He did all of that, but he decided that he was going to be obedient to what the Lord had called him to do.
What about that?
So,
and but, so you were connected with those folks. You kind of knew about Big Life because you were on the staff and you were kind of in that circle there.
Absolutely.
I see.
John and Jim, the guys who launched the ministry, were both working in the high school student ministry at the church. And at the time, when I first went there, I was a middle school student pastor.
I see.
At this church. And so they were just kind of put their toes in the water of ministry and were learning just to lead Bible studies and chaperone trips for student ministry.
I see. So they approached you. Then fast forward and they approached you with just talking about a concern for after, I mean, Big Life had been going on for quite a while at this point, and they started to have it, just see a concern for North American church planting.
Right,
ministry.
Early in 2011, John contacted me and asked what I thought about it, and I said, well, absolutely, God's hand and blessing have been evident upon the ministry for years, and I said, let's go for it. And at that point, he says, well, I really feel like the Lord has told me you're the guy to direct the efforts. And that shocked me to the point that I said, well, God hadn't told me that. And so for about the next 18 months, I continued to tell him no. I really resisted it, and really for a variety of reasons, but it really came down to my own selfishness. I was pretty self-satisfied, very comfortable in my megachurch position, well taken care of, and a little bit scared to death. But I tell you, the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit really spoke directly to my heart. And I tell people, I kind of had a moment like when the prophet Nathan approached King David. And not that I was in that kind of moral failure, don't get me wrong, but it was that kind of moment where I had told people for years, whatever God's telling you to do, go do it.
Yeah.
If not, you're going to be in disobedience. And it's kind of like a mirror was held up to my face. And I saw myself as being disobedient and running from the thing that the Lord had fit me for and called me to do most. And so after when I finally came to the point that, to saying yes, not really to John, but saying yes to the Lord, I immediately resigned my position at this church. Had never done Simple Church before, had never been to a Simple Church, had heard about it and read about it. But I said, Lord, where you guide, you provide, and I'm going to take the step of faith, my family and I, and we're going to just go for it and see what you want to do.
Now, let me ask you a question at this point, because I find this interesting. When he came to you to approach you about this, I mean, and I've shared with you my story. I know I was approached with this idea in a very similar way. Hey, we want you to start this. In my case, it was start a church, and the folks that were asking me about that, they did not have Simple Church in their mind at all. So when this guy, when they approach you about this, had they begin to have a vision and a hunger for Simple Church planting in North America, or was it sort of a blank slate, like, hey, we don't really know what to do, but we want to do something? What do you think about figuring that out?
It was both of those things. They did have a vision for Simple Church planting in North America, but what it looked like in this context, they weren't sure of.
I see.
For years, you know, we've been told that what works in the West should work in other parts of the world, and we became convinced that what we saw working in the 1040 window, I mean, in places like the tribal areas of Pakistan and Afghanistan, you know, the simple biblical concepts and strategies, if they work there, they ought to work here. And we kind of tested that. We had a guy who does some training for us come to a large church in South Carolina. They were having a missions weekend, and he came in, and he was assigned the college and career group at this church. And so when he got there, he didn't know what they wanted him to share. He asked him, they said, hey, listen, just train us like you do the church planters in Pakistan. So he started that evening just teaching people how to share their testimony and then how to share God's story. And by the end of that evening, there were about 30 people gathered there, including the college pastor and his wife. By the end of that evening, 13 of them had realized they never had a story. So 13 of them that night accepted Christ for the first time, including the college pastor's wife, got fired up about the truth of God's word, went down the street to a neighbor's house, and all of them were immediately baptized in this neighbor's pool.
Wow.
Cool. they went out the next day, put the training into action, and by Sunday, the group had gone from 30 to 80. And so we saw at that point, if it works in the Bible Belt, and if it works in the tribal areas of Pakistan and Afghanistan, I mean, arguably one of the toughest areas on earth, it's got to work everywhere in between. And so we began convinced that this is something that needed to come and be refocused on in North America. So we went for it that way and began to do our research and said, hey, it works there. It needs to work here. It needs to be used in a couple of different ways, reaching those who don't know Christ, you know, and then involve them in an authentic community where true discipleship can take place, but at the same time having an open hand and arms to the existing local church and helping them reach the people who won't walk into their building.
Yeah, and that's what I've really appreciated about you, just getting to know you. I know we've kind of talked about that and shared that desire. It's not like that we're out here trying to shut down brick-and-mortar churches or think that they're of the devil or something, which you can kind of run into folks that kind of have that bent. But I really love that about you, and just that it's like, hey, if this works and this is a biblical model of church, then let's just open the door for it and not try to shut other doors down, you know. And I think that's what I appreciate about you. So tell me a little bit. So your friend, he approaches you about this. You're on staff at a mega church, and you've never been a part of Simple Church, and now all of a sudden you're starting to think, man, maybe this is something I'm going to be responsible for. God's leading me to help all across North America with people planting Simple Churches. And at that point, you've not really had that experience. So how did that all begin for you? What in your family? What did that look like, and what were some of the experiences you had there early on, or and the challenges early on as a family?
Well, first and foremost, we prayed like we have never prayed before. Because going into it, we knew that it could be in some ways almost ministry suicide for Big Life, because it seemed like it was okay as long as we were pursuing the strategy over there, you know, on the other side of the ocean. but when we decided to come to the United States and North America, all of a sudden in some people's eyes, there became a big question, why? Why are you coming here? You know, so my first research was that, okay, what about the state of the church in North America? And I read this thing called the Olson Report back in fall of 2012, and it really painted a true picture of what has been happening in church attendance, you know, regardless of denomination, just church attendance in North America, and the decline was drastic. What we had been told for years by organizations like the Gallup poll really wasn't fitting with reality, the true picture of what was happening. And so it became quite apparent why there needed to be some sort of revitalization or the beginning to reach people and truly make disciples in North America. So that was really the impetus. So after prayer, research came into play big time, and then beginning to connect and talk with people who have been doing it for a while. And then I really sought Gavin to find an opportunity to kind of strike a balance, because like you say, you know, when you start getting out there and researching Simple Church or House Church or Organic Church, whatever you want to call it, there's wide variance. I mean, you can run into some things out there that are very divisive among the body. I have a problem with that, because, you know, Jesus, he prays, he wants us all to be one. He wants us to be unified. Yeah. And I'm not talking about in an ecumenical sense, but I'm talking about laying aside the things that divide and focusing on Jesus Christ and the advancement of his kingdom, wherever he finds you planted. And so we really tried to strike a balance of what we had seen work overseas in the 1040 window and how that would come to bear in the cultural context of North America. And so research started, and then my family and I came together, and we made a determination that we would connect with as many people as we can. We would take a missional mindset, and I define that as just being on mission 24/7, 365, having the eyes of Jesus, the ears of Jesus, the heart, mind, soul of Jesus Christ, and work that out and connect with people. And we determined before we ever launched our group that if it was just our family, we would go forward in obedience. It wasn't about numbers. We would go forward in obedience. And that seemed to ring true with many, many people we connected with.
So you leave staff at this church, you join staff with Big Life, and you're tasked with North American church planting as an arm of Big Life, which still continues to do a lot of stuff overseas. I take it mostly still a lot of work there.
Absolutely.
But you're in charge of North American church planting, and you start praying, your family, you dive in, you have this sense of calling. What happens first? Do you and your wife begin planting a simple church in your all's community? Is that something that happens kind of early on? And tell us a little about what that looked like.
Well, right after I left my position in South Florida, we relocated for a couple of different reasons. But the main one is that I had seen groups leave the church I was on staff with in South Florida. And it became very divisive in nature. That church at the time was not at all open to this concept. And so in order not to be divisive and not to give any fodder or pour gas on any fire, we decided to relocate. And so that's we love the mountains. And so we relocated to North Georgia at that point. But we immediately sought to begin connecting with people in the community, and we planted and we launched. So we basically launched our first Simple Church before I had ever attended one.
Yeah. Wow.
So we just trusted God. And I mean, I know that might sound crazy to some who are listening, but I believe others would identify it. We trusted God and His Word, and we thought, we're going to do this. We really try to model, you know, what you read in the book of Acts. And what the people did when they came together, and God just began drawing people to us. I tell people, it's probably interesting. The first dozen or so people that we talked to and told them what we were doing, none of those people ever came.
Yeah,
but we didn't become discouraged at that. We just said we kind of drove a stake in the ground and said we're starting on this day. And on the day that we started, God brought 20 people to our house.
Yeah.
And in some we connect, others had just heard, and just being out in the community, and we've just gone on since then. So,
well, Forrest, you know, I really love that, because I feel like that a lot of times I get a phone call, and I think this can work. And maybe someone listening to this podcast, this is even their mindset. They think, you know, I'd like to find a simple church to try out, or a house church community that I maybe can try out. And that can work on occasion, but it seems to me that the whole mindset, that to me the whole idea of what we're trying to do is to say, is not about the kind of church you go to, but it is this readjustment of in our own hearts and minds of what it really means to be a Christian and what it means to be on mission with Jesus. And you can, at some point, I think what you just described has to happen within all of us. And maybe it does happen after you visit a simple church. But I think oftentimes I usually ask folks, and I'm right away, well, why not, instead of me trying to help you find a simple church, why not I just help you start a simple church right now? And just let's start living this way and thinking this way and just see what God might do, you know. And I think that in many ways, what you just described, the beginning stages for you and your family, that kind of has to happen for all of us at some point in this road where we make the switch. Like, this is what I'm called to. This is the kind of life God wants me to live. And if it's just me and my family, we're going to figure this out, you know. And you're kind of all in a sense.
That's exactly right. I mean, we've had people visit our group over the last, because we will have launched our group. We're not quite 2 years old, and we've already seen several groups launch out and plant out of ours. So we have second-generation churches and one third-generation church at this point. So not super rapid multiplication as we would like to see, but yet very pleased at how God's moving in and through people's lives. But it comes a time where you just have to say, we're going to do this. And, you know, really, I believe the Lord Jesus is looking for people who are doers. You know, it's okay to learn. We need to learn. But if all we do is sit and learn and never translate that knowledge into action, we're going to be the same. We're not going to move very far. You know, Jesus told us everything that we needed to know. It's okay to ask questions and get people's idea. But at some point, you have to say, we're going to go forth and do it. You know, you've got to be a doer. And so we look for doers. Wow. And that's what really what Big Life at Home or in North America is really all about. We're not a new denomination. We're not a new church. We exist simply just to empower people, empower believers to reach and disciple their own people for Jesus Christ. So the mission statement that came about for this ministry focused on the overseas mission has not changed here in North America. I tell people all the time, you know, the way our house church looks in North Georgia, it's not going to look exactly like that in Southern California or the Pacific Northwest or Mexico or Canada or even in Kentucky, you know, because culture, local culture varies widely, you know. So for me from the South to go and try to start a church in California, if God calls you to do that, you've got to go and be obedient. But I will always be an outsider. So empower people right where they are, right where God has divinely, providentially planted them and their family to reach the people in that community. And it works in North America just like it works in Cambodia, India, Vietnam, all those countries that we're in overseas. So once people realize that they're empowered to do that, that they don't need anybody's permission, they just simply need to make up their mind to be obedient to what the Word is calling them, commanding them to do, expecting them to do as believers, they just need to move forward in faith. I tell people all the time, you know what, are you going to make, they'll ask me, we might make a mistake. I'm going to say, you will make a mistake. Well, this could be very messy. I tell them, it will be messy. I mean, it was messy in the first century.
Yeah.
And I often tell them, you know, if it wasn't really messy, then the Apostle Paul wouldn't have had a lot to write about.
That's right.
Because he's constantly correcting and training and rebuking and encouraging throughout his letters to the churches. So sure, it's going to be that way. But there's something incredible when you get together in these small communities and you start doing life together and you're weaving your life together. You're discipling and sharpening each other. And then you're sending each other out each and every week into their community, looking for persons of peace, you know, intentional about planting and multiplying. That God just blesses. You know, I tell people it's simple. It is simple, church, but don't confuse simplicity with ease because it's not always easy.
Yeah. True that.
Tom, you wanted to...
Yeah, I had a question. You know, we've studied, you know, David Garrison, and we've heard about how the simple methods of church planting are really taking off in the third world and in the 1040 window, and I've heard your stories of success. What do you think are some of the common characteristics that lend to the receptivity of people here in North America to simple church and church planting movements like that?
Well, I think we're finding people receptive on a number of different levels. But basically, first, they're responding to something that's stirring deep within them. I hear this common statement through almost every conversation I have, I sense there was something more, or that God was calling me to do something more. It wasn't necessarily born out of a frustration of their institutional church. It's just that God had something more for them. Or then I'll hear something like, you know, when I read the scripture, what I'm reading there, I don't see that lining up with my current church experience.
Yeah.
You know, so there's got to be something more. Yeah. So I think that, you know, the Spirit opens the receptivity. The Spirit is what draws men and opens their heart. But also, once people begin to get involved in it, the testimonies that are coming out of these simple churches, you know, that I get to share with other people, it's like, wow, the Word has come to life. You know, we know Jesus is the Word. We know that He is alive, so the Word's alive. But the word, as they read it off the pages, they're beginning to see those things happen right now in their own experience. And that excites people and it makes them want to share. So that, and then the concept of saying, hey, you know, we don't go to church. We don't go on a mission trip. We are the church. We are on mission. It's not something that you do. It's something that you are. When people begin to grasp that concept and say, hey, God has empowered me to do this. He's gifted me to do this. We see people come alive.
Yeah.
See people. I mean, the joy of their salvation is restored. And finally, they think, hey, all this that God's given me and has been stirring me to do, now I have an opportunity to do that. And make an impact in my community.
Well, Forrest, listen, I really appreciate you joining us. We're gonna end it on that note. When we come back, we'll continue the conversation in the next podcast. And I'm really excited for you to share with folks some of the things that you're seeing God doing here in North America. I think that it'll be very encouraging. So, Forrest Head with Big Life at Home, thanks for joining us today. I'm Gavin Durson, and for Tom LeCompte, this is the Keep It Simple podcast.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to Keep It Simple, a podcast dedicated to the idea of being the church in simple ways. Find us on the web at keepitsimplepodcast.com. That's keepitsimplepodcast.com. You can also like us on Facebook at Keep It Simple, a simple church podcast. Or you can find us on iTunes. We welcome your feedback and your prayers.